With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
Welcome back, everybody. You're here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. I'm so thrilled to bring you a second-time guest. My gorgeous friend Lisa Black is back. She's back in the house, and this time we're talking about do less to earn more. How good does that sound? Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Let's inspire a rebellion.
Let's inspire a rebellion?
Yeah.
Let's do it. I want to do that on so many levels. For those of you that don't know Lisa, Lisa Black is the business rebirth guide. She is re-niching and repositioning herself six times over her 15-year business career, which showed Lisa that her business needs need to expand to match our ever-evolving heart. Being the sole financial provider for 5 years for her family initiated Lisa's pioneering feminine approach to business, which is ease, simplicity, and authority. She leads women deeper into their brilliance by advocating for leaders to own their story and stand in their knowing. She moved from earning $40,000 to $100,000 a year by realizing that we don't get paid for what we're good at. We get paid for how well we communicate what we are good at. Ooh, this will be so fun to dive in. I think some people's money blocks will be rising up at this point, and other people will be leaning in to take notes. Lisa, you came on my show before last year in 2023, one of the 90 guests that I had on last year. And the topic we did then was from destroyed to undestroyable. So I'd love you to kick things off today. How have you personally changed and evolved since the woman I interviewed many months ago?
I can see that when you recognize a pattern, you permit yourself to deepen it even more. And so this beautiful verb, embolden, I feel like I've personified this and I know this is my path. And when you're around someone who's so safe to fully be unrestrained in their truth, it catalyzes a level of self-permission that is very, very hard and rare to access on our own.
So you use the word embolden, which I love, which I actually, TBH, do not entirely know what that means. What does that mean to you?
Right. So bold is to become more pronounced, more accentuated, more vivid. So embolden is the verb that we're using to actually become more accentuated in our individuality, more bold in our authenticity. It's about really bringing the vividness of our true spirit to life through our words, through our image, through our body language in life and in business.
Bringing the vividness of our true spirit to life. For those of you that obviously none of you can see Lisa right now, we do record on video because I love the connection. Lisa and I have been friends for over 10 years. And one of the things with you, Lisa, you and I resonate so well together because we're both pretty out there. We're both pretty over the top, let's be honest, as people. How have you, because I feel like part of your journey is really embracing and expressing who you truly are and encouraging or giving other people permission or them giving themselves permission to fully express who they are. Is that part of the work that you do in your expertise?
I think it's the foundational underlying aspect where life called me into that journey, you know, being raised by a mother who was fundamentally in a state of being triggered from my individuality really helped me to see the repercussions of my pure, genuine expression and learn how to navigate that. And the way I see it now is that it's a gift for anyone to feel anything around me so that they can actually discover who they really are. And my joke is that I don't even send a check because it is so valuable to take someone into the dissonance within themselves, whether they are living true or not. And for me, I interpret everyone's response as a reflection of who they are at this current moment. Right. I never use the phrase I triggered so and so. I go, they were triggered by something that has nothing to do with me, that they saw, that they get to work with, and I just get to stroll on by.
Do you feel like people are more willing to lean into the curiosity around the trigger than they were before? Because a lot of people in life would just be like, oh, that person's full on, or wow, she's annoying, or whatever. But some people, like myself, would be like, huh, I am so triggered by that person. Wow, what's that about? Do you find more people are into that mindset of curiosity now?
Yeah, I feel like the last 4 years, everyone's really taken note that if we're not paying attention to the prompts that are arriving on the daily, we're going to miss the uptake for the next challenge that life is bringing into us imminently. Like that might be a next week thing. So seeing it as a gift for what we bring and how other people respond to it is just such a powerful reframe to be able to deepen into it more, because my experience for such a long time in business was seeing the reactivity in others. Now I see adoration, and those closest to me share the story of what emerged for them when they met me, whether it was my blatant sensuality or how I dress or my double G breasts or the way that I carry myself and own who I am, and how much that allowed them to self-permit. And now that that's been reinforced so much, I think I'm really here as a walking permission slip to tell everyone to do the same. Like, let everyone else go through what they need to go through when they're near you. Because you will, I just love this quote that you never know who could fall in love with who you truly are. And why would we deny ourselves that or anyone else in this life?
For our listeners that are listening, you probably already noticed Lisa is an incredible wordsmith. And every time I interview her, I feel like I just want to write down every single thing you say. It's so incredible. But I love that message, you know, being a walking permission slip for who we truly are. We would love to hear what's resonating for you. Send us a text, 2057, or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. You know, Lisa, one of my favorite memories actually of 2024 so far is attending your farewell party when you moved from Auckland. And maybe you can tell our listeners where you're based now if you want to. And just hearing everyone's reflections on their journey with you as friends. Most of them were clients. Last year, you were running ridiculous. And this is coming from me. I've got a lot of energy. You're running ridiculous amounts of events, like admirable amounts of events here, there, and everywhere. And now you've absolutely shifted. Well, you shifted the way you show up, but also literally where you show up. So can you talk to us about that journey and how you decided to change things in your business and move towards today's topic, which is doing less to earn more?
I think this piece on external authority seeking is an underlying habit within all females. Men do this too. Men get more of an upswing and benefit from it. It's more easy for them to receive the kudos through the patriarchal system. Whereas when we're in a female body, we really are facing that flack that fundamentally, I don't conform to that system. So when we find ourselves in places like organized religion, as I did, or even in my family where I had opinions and ways of being that confronted those around me, I was shamed, blamed, criticized. So we experience this kind of repeated onslaught, and we reach a certain point in our lives. And last year, that was my point where I knew enough. I had accumulated enough personal power, self-knowledge, self-safety. I could stand with myself no matter what, that I just went loud and proud declaring. And that accumulated into 42 events last year that I either led or co-led. And three incredible co-leaders, because there's no way that we're doing anything magical in this world without deep, profound support on every level. Yeah. And what I noticed was that I was homeschooling at the same time that I was engaged in my client work at full capacity while running an event every week to every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that my schedule was so engaged with what fully lit me up and was a full expression of my brilliance. I didn't have any time to doubt myself. I had to deliver. I had a client appointment. I had an event to run. I had to show up and talk about all the things. I think we need to remember that when we align with our natural genius and with the pleasure of what genuinely lights us up and brings us joy, is that it squeezes out all of that self-doubt. And what happened was there was this wave of other women that ran in concentric circles where they all started doing the same, showing up more loud and proud. And we actually co-created a culture. And this is why I've just found the word to it, which is embolden. When you're surrounded by a group of people, as you and I have been that in our friendship the whole time, we're like, get it! It's amazing. Oh, here are my shoes. Oh, the shoes are amazing. And we're just fanning each other's soul flames.
Absolutely.
It makes you untouchable.
It's so important. And what I love about that, something you and I have both always done, is encouraged women to support each other. And you had a photo on your Facebook page, I think it was this week. It was like you and some other woman, and you were kind of leaning on each other back to back. And it was really all about, you know, supporting other women. Can you talk about that for a bit? How can we do a better job as a society? Because a lot of my listeners aren't in business. So let's keep this a bit general. How can we do a better job of supporting each other as women, and to rise higher together and fanning each other's soul, I think, as you said, rather than that whole, maybe it's a stereotype, but of women trying to compete and drag each other down?
I mean, this really comes back to the sister wound and the sisterhood wounds that we all have. I mean, I have two sisters I literally don't speak to. So this has been my background as well. And when we understand that there's certain ways of conforming in society that are given, that are rewarded and that are accepted, and that fundamentally being a woman who's on a monthly cycle, who is an innately creative, pleasure-bringing being that craves authenticity, is that when we really learn how to include and accept other women as they are and dismantle our own jealousy and that rite of passage into our own intimidation, we actually find our truth and our power. But we can't do it without the mirror reflections. I've seen women earning more than me show up, and I'm like, ooh, I'm so thrilled that I'm jealous, because I can now not avoid the truth that I want that like she has it. Mm-hmm. That new haircut that woman's rocking, I wish I had the boldness to cut my hair short. And for the last 8 years, I've had this incredibly short haircut. So many women have told me they cut their hair short just from me showing up with the short haircut. So when we take responsibility for dismantling the false construct that we need to be supplicant and compliant and willing to serve some other power above us, then we start realizing that we can support other women to resist that urge and feel safe to be whoever they are.
So much goodness in that. And I hope women are taking notes as well as men. Let's talk about men, because one of the things I note with you and your relationship and your events that I've come to is your husband is such a, I'm going to say silent support, but he's not really. Like, when it is his time to speak or contribute, he comes in with, you know, very, very powerful words. So do you have a message for the men out there in terms of supporting their woman to be who they're born to be?
There's a lot I want to say on this topic. But mostly we need to have a lot of reverence and grace for men, that they're struggling with the patriarchy as much as we are as women. They just do a better job at masking, and they've been more conditioned to be compliant than we are. So there is an aching need for them to be seen. There's an aching need for them to be held in tenderness and love. And it took me a long time to learn that, because men are so good at deceiving us. And so as soon as a man is in front of me, all I'm doing is witnessing the truth of who he is and supporting him to feel safe being who he is, exact same as a woman. And that's confronting for some men. All of them love it. And eventually, if they have enough interactions with me, they really start opening their heart and being a bit more vulnerable and telling the truth. And so for men, I think if they can realize that they have the same brotherhood wound, they actually really need to learn to meet other men from that place of intimacy and vulnerability and mutual support. My husband has just come back 2 weeks ago from his first men's retreat. And lo and behold, there are actually other men in the world struggling with big, hard things that are going to stay on their shoulders their whole lives. Imagine that. Mm. Meanwhile, there's been this facade presented that we're the emotional ones because we're cyclical and we have this period initiating this big change in us that forces the truth to the surface. Men are running on a solar cycle where we're running on a lunar cycle. So winter is when they are vulnerable and they are weak and they are emotional. So for the women out there, watch for your men's cycle, because he'll be premenstrual come winter solstice. But really have a look at how you can have empathy and compassion for him and nurture him in that vulnerability the same way you would like him to nurture your vulnerability when you're bleeding and moving through your cycle.
I have one request. I don't know if you're up for it, but honestly, I would definitely book in to attend a retreat that you and your husband, Binny, would run, which is all around showing up as your true self, witnessing each other, et cetera, et cetera. So just keep that in mind.
Received.
Let's talk a little bit more about the topic of the day, which is doing less to earn more. What, I don't know if tips is the right word, tips or strategies or insights can you share with our listeners today? I mean, I know you're in business. Most of my people are not in business, but what can we all learn from today in terms of that, being able to be more present and not have to be doing the hard grind? How can we do less to earn more?
Well, this is just as relevant for people with jobs, is that there is an innate bias towards actually trying to prove our value that's interwoven within society. So when we have a task for our job, you might have completed that 2 hours ago and you're still trying to dress it up to impress someone else because you're not secure enough to stand in your authority and say, this is amazing, and submit it. Okay, we're all completing tasks no matter what. And one of the things that we do is that we try to hide our power so that we don't elicit jealousy or intimidation. And one of the things I really learned how to do was to allow other people to move through that. I trust you to move through what's there for you. And not because we're taking on it as our responsibility. If we're trying to manage that, managing other people by dimming our light is what we have been societally conditioned to do. And so for me, the self-authorization that I know myself so well, I have been my witness my whole life. I know when my work is good, I can feel it in my body, and I've got the guts to stand in the truth of that. And I can face the consequences. A lot of people are so afraid of the consequences that they hold back, they overwork, they overlabor, they hide their brilliance, all to try and fit in a way that actually leaves them on the outside.
I'm wondering if people out there feel like they are ready to stop dimming their light and stop feeling like they have to kind of over deliver just to prove their worth. Let us know. Send us a text, 2057, inbox at realitycheck.radio. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lisa Black on the Up Your Brave show. We're talking about the topic of do less to earn more. And I feel, Lisa, like the time, you know, 2024, the time is right. Are we moving towards a more feminine way of doing things and a less soldier-on masculine way of doing things? Is that part of it?
Yeah, I really feel like life over the last few years gave us some opportunities to have some spare time and actually start reflecting on what do we enjoy doing? What lights us up? And now that we've found all of those things, we're starting to now weigh that up against all of the tasks that we bemoan and that we have a grudge against. And we're starting to realize that if we can incline towards what brings us natural joy and pleasure, that that's actually what we're all here for, is to bring our best. Because I can't bring what you can, Nat. You have a genius that I could never compete with. So I just celebrate yours and you celebrate mine. And we each contribute our separate parts together. And I think that's the feminine approach, is that when we're moving from patriarchal and a hierarchical structure of looking up and seeking that external validation from someone else, and we're moving into this matriarchal structure where people are shoulder by shoulder, working with us, by us, for us together, we start to really feel that culture of we're all in it. And that is transformative. So we are already moving. Some people are a little bit behind, but they're seeing everyone else having one hell of a time. So they're going to join.
I had just an example of that literally right before this recording. I've just come from my local Empowered Connections event. So most of my audience knows I'm expanding my wings across the country and I have these little networking clubs popping up. Anyway, one of the women, this is so cool, she literally books in and goes to someone's massage place or someone's a carpet cleaner or someone's a real estate agent, and she goes along and she experiences their service. And then she does Google reviews and creates videos of herself talking. She might interview the owner, but it's mainly her. And it skyrockets people's business. Now, I'm sitting beside her. I could easily be like, oh, I could do that. Or actually, I have done that in the past, right? Where I go to my client, I experience their service. I do like a behind the scenes sneak peek. It would be so easy for me to fall into that jealousy or that, oh gosh, now she's going to get their business and I could, but no, I'm like, oh my goodness, what a brilliant opportunity for us to collaborate. Cause it's like, if she sometimes needs more people to go and do these things, or I can literally, I'm a super connector. That's really my happy place, is connecting her with other businesses who want her to come in and do the Google review. I don't need to do the Google review. I could do. And she also creates websites and all the things. But I was just like, that is a classic example, right? Of women cheering each other on, allowing each other to be in their unique area of genius, not trying to do everything. Because I feel like part of doing less to earn more is we don't need to do all the things, right?
But if we really have respect for how desperately some of us are trying to prove our worth, mm-hmm. it makes sense why these people are just running around with endless tasks, ceaselessly waiting for someone to go, oh, you're amazing. That was phenomenal. Thank you so much for doing that. And so our family culture is, we just live and breathe off acknowledging one another and thanking one another. Mm-hmm. And it's just so powerful when you put labor and effort into something and then someone's like, I really noticed that. Thank you so much. It really lands. So you are just so deep in this culture. I love anyone that is affiliated, associated with you. And likewise, you always get along with all of my people as well. Because once you land on that paradigm, there's no going back. The scarcity and the fear and the jealousy and competition, so draining. I don't have time. That's just so wasteful of life force.
So if someone's sitting here listening and thinking, okay, ladies, I hear what you're saying. You know, I'm in job or I'm in business or whatever. I would love to do less to earn more. How do we start? How do they start that process?
Pay attention to what lights you up. So when you're enthusiastic or excited, or when time passes without you noticing, these are all indicative of you being in your flow, your brilliance, or your area of genius, whatever word aligns and resonates for you. The moment that you can start to track that, you can start to lean into that. And there might be an opportunity within your team and they're like, oh, we've got this task. And then you'll go, ah, I'll raise my hand and I'll do that. And then the results that come, you'll get known for doing that type of work and you'll get more of it. You know, one of my favorite things to say is that you get more of what you do. So whatever work you're doing, you're going to attract more of that. Every project that I receive in my business comes from a project that I'm doing presently. And so even if we're in a job and you're doing a task, there will be more of those tasks that come to you. So really using the power of your yes to receive something and really excluding something and saying no, mm-hmm. you're just going to end up on this trajectory where then you're going to look forward to your day more. You're going to feel more satisfied and content at the end of the day. These are the signs and the signals that we're leaning into our natural area of brilliance.
So good. Okay. So everyone listening, take note, notice, observe when you are getting excited. And what is that thing? And how can you do more of that thing? Here's a practical example. One of the women in my networking club, shout out to Claire from Physio Mac. So whenever I introduce Claire, I always say, you know, Claire is a physio for people and pets. And people lean in, they go, ooh, pets, because that's different. It's not just, oh, she's a physio. But we were chatting and I said, well, what do you love the most? She goes, well, I'm about to train. She does acupuncture as well. And she's about to train to do facial acupuncture, meaning like natural Botox, like acupuncture Botox. And she said, you know, and someone said, you can charge like $180 for that compared to whatever 60 or 80 that she charges for the other stuff. And so it's really a matter, I think, as a business coach, of looking at your offerings and seeing the alignment between love, money, and time, and going like, how much on a scale of 1 to 5 do I love doing each of the services or the products or whatever they do that they provide, and really putting a number on it, like 1 being, I don't really love it, 5 being, oh my God, it's the best. And really taking inventory, you know, just really connecting their heart back to what they're offering and making sure they're not just offering whatever, anything and everything that people are asking for or not asking for. So my friend Claire decided, she was like, okay, well, I'm really going to focus on the pet side of things until I get the acupuncture facial stuff up and running. So that's really what I'd love to focus on. She loves animals. Horses and dogs specifically is what she's trained in helping them with acupuncture and physio. And so that's really easy for the rest of us to promote her, you know, and to connect her with people who have dogs or horses that might need a bit of help with their health. So I think that's a great practical example for someone. It's like, what is lighting you up that you love doing that also can bring you the income that you're desiring without making you exhausted?
Exactly. And we all want to give the work to the people who enjoy it. If you've got a choice between two people and one begrudgingly bemoans doing it, and the other one's like, oh, I'm so excited about this project. Like, thank you so much. We always lean towards this. So we innately know this. We're just afraid of the consequences of choosing those no's. And that's why the more of these stories that can get out, you know, being able to purchase my own home in the last 6 months because I kept leaning into what I was naturally good at and really delegating, avoiding, and saying no to the things I wasn't most aligned with is really proof in the pudding for me. I'm like, wow, that literally has provided a home for my family. We've now relocated to the Ruapehu district. And it's so beautiful and it's everything we've ever wanted that I didn't know was here. Mm. So this is literally cash in the bank. It's literally a house with land. And I love that you know this, you do this, and you're just a shining example in that. You know, everything that you're bringing through Up Your Brave and with RCR is just so impressive. Your business coaching and you as a super connector, because this is what you're here for. We all have a very special task and purpose that we've each been brought in for.
Well, I'm going to do a shout out back to you, Lisa, because most of my listeners might not know this, but the word Up Your Brave, which is my website, upyourbrave.com, was actually created way before Reality Check Radio was created. It's probably 7 years old now. And who helped me find that name or actually told me? It was Lisa. I said, I do so many things. I do essential oils and I'm a business coach and I interview people and no one really knows what I do. And she said, Nat, you're a trailblazer. You help people to up their brave. And that's literally where the name came from. So thank you so much for that, Lisa, and the work that you and I have done recently. Can you give an example without breaking confidentiality or whatever, but do you have someone that comes to mind, a client that you've worked with recently who you've helped them to do that, do less to earn more, maybe kind of, I know you help people do this business rebirth. Have you worked with someone recently who you've helped them to go from doing all the things to doing some specific things and actually receiving more, generating more income for it?
Yeah, there's a really good example, and speaking as openly as I can, is that a lot of us good at a lot of things because we have to become good at a lot of things in this world, but we can over rely on that thrill of competency when we can complete a task, that we can become addicted to completing tasks that fuel our sense of self-worth and value. So there was a woman who had created this business and gotten to 6 employees and it was thriving, but she had a specialty genius that she was hiding and reserving because it required her to authorize and own that genius in order to represent it and reflect it. And what ended up happening over the 2 years since she worked with me is that the other business started struggling with a lot of the changes, and that specialty business that we really gave her the words and that self-authorization to own and represent went on to turn over $150,000 a year. So what happened was that new little area that she never got time to put any care into because she was so devoted to all of these actions that fueled this false sense of self-worth that kept her compelled. Oh, it just is suicide feeling. I'm like, there's so many people in that. We're like, I can do it. And I go, it's not that valuable. Does it light you up? Now, this other aspect, this specialization that she has, that is now this year, she's entirely transitioning to that. She's actually selling off the other components of her business. So when we're starting to talk into the hundreds of thousands, it's only by doing this so many times and repeatedly seeing the money show up that when we actually narrow in, there are a lot of fears that people have to navigate. So my 16 years in business, evolving it 6 times, re-niching myself, I deeply comprehend that the letting go phase, giving death and dying to certain parts of ourselves, our work, our job, or our business, is literally terrifying for most people. And I go, oh, I know what's on the other side of letting go. So let that go. Because I know that this is here for you. And so I really want anyone who deep down already knows they need to let go of something, tell yourself the truth about that and realize that rebirth always comes after the death. And so people want to have this intellectual, rational comprehension of what's coming before they let go. Oh, no, 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 no. It's the other way around. We need to first let go and release the hold, release the thing. And then what is right for you will show up sometimes within 24, 48 hours, if not 7 days. Okay. And I wish that's really what I want to bring, that confidence that when you do let go and die, what's right for you will really show up and bless you. For me, I want to be a force for good that blesses my family and everyone that I'm fortunate to be in contact with. Like, that's what I'm here for. And that's, I'm good at initiating death.
What a skill. I wrote down release to receive.
Release to receive. You're so good at catchphrases, isn't
it? I know. And I feel like one of your gifts is also to see what is unseen to others.
Yeah, that's my full-time occupation, is sitting with someone as they go round and round intellectually and then reflect back. I'm hearing this. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they hear it, they know that it's true, but we're often wading through so much in our internal worlds, we can't quite grasp it, which is why we need one another. We need those trusted confidants that we can turn to and go, what do you see here? My husband is an impeccable listener because he's been through, you know, 13 bleeds with me every year for 17 years. The man is initiated. He sits there, he goes, here's what I'm hearing. Mm. And suddenly, in my point of being vulnerable and clouded, someone sees me and returns me to my truth and my power. And this is how we're resonating in partnership and in community and just spiraling upwards easier and easier.
I'm excited for all the people that are going to take some of what they've gleaned today from this conversation and integrate it into their life. And a lot of the times they already know, like you said, they already know the truth of what they are ready, maybe not ready to release, but maybe they just need to hear this interview. Hey, I'm going to do my wrap-up questions. Yeah. The first one is a little different from last year. Lisa, if you were to truly up your brave in 2024, what would you do?
I'm going to be doing less to earn more. And right now I'm really actively receiving everything that I got. Yesterday we just received a little Maine Coon kitten for my little girl. And in the night, my heart was so big and it felt so huge that I had to slowly breathe in and inhale and just adjust my nervous system to really receiving. The more we get what we want, we have to condition ourselves to normalize that. And this is an active process for me to do less and earn more, is to help myself feel really safe with receiving that.
That sounds amazing. And congrats on your kitten. I love animals. What are you creating at the moment in your business, or what is coming up for you and your family and your life in the next 6 months or so?
Well, we have planted our fruit trees. So we have a big veggie garden that's going in, and I've started putting in what's called a moon garden, where your whole garden is filled with white flowers so that they're reflective and radiant of the lunar light at full moon.
That sounds amazing. I know you've got your Embolden event coming up. So depending on when you're listening, everybody, so when this airs, I'm pretty sure this is airing on Wednesday and your event will be on the coming Saturday. So some people might have missed it if they're listening to the replay, but they can always go to your website and find out, or your socials, and find out what else is coming up. But can you tell us a little bit about Embolden?
Embolden is a whole day to really initiate that feminine leadership. So this is all about self-authorization, that when you can allow your own intuition to be the thing that's making the decisions rather than your head, what happens is miracles start showing up and you are enabled to do less to earn more. So it's a big fan club standing around you, just celebrating you, reminding you are as brilliant as you dream of, and you are as in demand as you're hoping, and that you showing up as who you are is the way to give the highest service and therefore earn the most by standing in your authority.
Okay. And where can people connect with you online if they love what they're hearing and they want to follow you and learn more, or they want to come to one of your very rare events or work with you privately? And I know you only take on a handful of clients at a time. So how can they learn more about that? How can they connect?
Yes, look up Lisa Black on Facebook and Instagram, LYSABLACK. And Embolden is coming up on Saturday, the 9th of March, and this is from 9:30 until 4 p.m. All of my 42 events last year were 2.5 hours. And by the end of the year, I just couldn't contain myself anymore. There's kind of this vortex that opens when everyone feels safe and comfortable and in their truth and celebrated and seen. You actually really start getting some really major connection points where people start having epiphanies and accessing inspiration and vision that's very difficult to access alone. So this one day will really have people becoming more bold in their truth, power, and purpose. And that is a once annual event. So I will be hosting one next year as well. And my one-on-one rebirths, I do 2 per month. And everyone can go to lisablack.com to find out more about that.
Amazing. And the Embolden event is in Auckland, yes?
It is, West Auckland.
Maybe you can do a South Island one next year.
Yeah, I definitely know that this is going to travel and that this is going to be going to more places. It's so powerful to allow ourselves to be seen by people who are rising, earning more, doing less, and deeply celebrating others. Once people know what it's like to be around that, we just want to keep on affiliating with that, of course.
I love that so much. And it's, you know, people are moving away from the busy and they're being more present. And that is exciting. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience before we say farewell?
I think once I really understood that crafting the sanctuary and the safety in my own inner world to truly hold myself and being my fullest expression was the most powerful and effortless way to really allow anyone else to do that near me. That became my motivator. And that motive, if you've ever wished that your sister felt more confident or that your, you know, cousin was able to take that leap in their career or that your mom ended up permitting herself to do the hobby that she's been denying herself for 20 years, I go, get busy doing that for yourself. What happens is the energy that surrounds us is so permissive and so encouraging. And this is why you're such a mecca too, Nat, that you really have that for yourself. And we're all just flocking. I know that your Empowered Connections is just going to spread across the country because everyone wants to get around people who are lit up around what they do and why. Mm. If we knew that we might be that one person, whether we said something or not, that allowed someone else to feel safe being who they are, that would literally change everyone's lives. So that is my heart wish for anyone listening that has resonated with these words today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much to Lisa for sharing her wisdom today. Lisa Black on the topic of do less and earn more. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Such a joy.
And thank you everyone for listening.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.